again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome, Insight. This chilly Wednesday evening. I say chilly, yet I look at my car thermometer and it's like 68.
Yep.
It doesn't feel 68.
Nope. That 90 mile an hour wind makes it feel a little chillier.
But do you know some place where it's always sunny?
In Philadelphia, it says so right on the our TV show.
In a room with Nikki Hawk and Kathy Porch.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Sunshine is here.
Sunshine is here.
Thank you.
And we welcome into studio those two fine ladies. And April is Autism Acceptance Awareness Month. And Nikki, I think we've had you on a couple of different times. I think it's been at least a few years, and we've talked about this in the past. But it is so prevalent, and it's so important that we feel like we should get together and chat again.
And so, kind of mysterious. I mean, everything's, it's always been kind of, in the last 20 years, people have decided that it's okay.
Right.
But in the past, it's been kind of pushed under the rug and tried to eliminate. I think the definition has become more fluid, I think. So go ahead with your stuff instead of interrupting.
let's just start with explaining why you two are here talking about autism. So we'll start with Nikki.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me. This month is very important to me and our family for a couple reasons. My first son was born October 16th, 2001. Developed pretty normally, but he was our only child at the time. My husband and I both are professional people. We have gone to college. We have master's degrees. We owned our house. We did everything right, according to the book. And our son just did some really odd things, but we were the youngest in our family, so we hadn't been around a lot of kids. And Isaac would do things like we'd be playing, and he would stop playing and go bang his head on something wooden or on concrete if we were outside, and then it would come back to playing. And when he went in for his 2-year checkup, I think, the doctor, we talked about banging his head, and we talked about him not talking very much. And they said, well, boys are slower and some kids are headbangers. I'm like, okay. So over the next few months after his second birthday, we decided that we were going to start intervention, going through the process of what services are available, what does he need. And so we kind of looked at speech therapy as a start. And just after his third birthday, just after his third birthday, he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. The good news about that was 2001 was when you started turning on the TV and the news and you started seeing autism everywhere.
Yeah.
Prior to that, the only thing any of us ever knew about autism was Rain Man. Right.
Yeah.
And I wish Isaac was like Rain Man in the sense that I could take him to Vegas and have a darn good time and make some money. Right. But that's not his gift. Oh, I think a lot of people think autism and think, oh, well, I've had people ask me this all the time. Well, what's his gift? What's his special? Well, you can be a savant, which means, you're gifted at something like Rain Man, or you can just be a person with autism. And Isaac is one in 36 who are diagnosed with autism. When he was diagnosed 20 years ago, it was one in 54, and now it's one in 36. The one thing that I didn't talk about last time I was here was, I've been an autism mom for 22 years. He was diagnosed 20 years ago. And within the last year, I've had another child diagnosed. He was 16 when he was diagnosed. I should have known, right? I mean, I've been living with this my whole life. But the reason I tell you that story is not to embarrass him or get unwanted attention for him, but to show that we've been living this life. We live it every day. And my boys could not be more different. But they both have signature autism characteristics. Social skills evade them. They have things that they're extremely interested in and are focused on that. And then they both also have ADHD. So you've got that coping with it as well. So I've got one son who will live with us his whole life probably. May never hold a real job, will never have a license, will probably never get married and have children. And I have another one who has a job, he has a license. And right now, you know, we're thinking, is he going to go to college? Is he going to work? What's he going to do? And so the point of me mumbling and telling you all this is that if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. It's a spectrum. And the reason it's called a spectrum is because you can fall anywhere on that spectrum. And some people can talk and some can't. And some people will have jobs and some won't. And some will get married and have children and you'll never know that they're on the spectrum. And some will live with me for the rest of their life. So it just depends on the person.
Yeah, and that spectrum, there's not like 5 or 18 different points. There's, let's say, 100.
It's never.
Let's say 50 million right. people in the United States. There's 50 million points on that right. spectrum. There's
exactly.
not. Oh, here's where you are on it. You may be in between 14 different things, and just yeah, it's just there's so many, I guess, definitions.
Right. And I will, sorry, Jack, I don't want to cut you up. You know, I talk too much, so I don't want to cut you off. But
that's why we asked you to come on.
Kathy Ports is here with me today. And when Isaac started public school in kindergarten at Fort Recovery, and we thought he would go in his typical classroom with other kindergartners, Kathy was his, I guess, intervention type teacher to start with. Mm-hmm. And before it was all said and done, he was with her all through until she retired. And he will still talk about Ports, his first teacher, or I'm sorry, his second teacher. We'll talk about Lake. Lake was his first teacher out at Cheryl Ann. And then Ports was his second teacher. And he still talks about Ports all the time. And he was with her for 7 years, I think.
Yeah, I think 7 years.
And he was in our class every day. It got to where he didn't go to a typical classroom anymore. He just went to Ports' room and, you know, did the best he could. And she has the patience of a saint, and I do not, so.
I do not have the patience of a saint. I have perseverance.
There you go. You have perseverance. And you could go home afterwards. I had to. He came home.
Perseverance. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. No, autism has been a big part of my life. Oh, probably since I started with the ESC, the Mercer County Educational Service Center, I worked for them 27 years, for 27 years, and I've been retired 10 years, so that was 37 years ago. We had autistic children even back in the 80s. We just didn't identify them as autistic. They were the kids with the behavior problems, weren't able to communicate, and things like that. It has grown over the years. And when I came to Fort Recovery, that was my dose of autistic, you know, and stuff. So it's been a fascinating ride and stuff. And as we always say, one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
One size does not fit all. What you do for one child will absolutely not work for the other child. What works today may not work tomorrow. But there are some things that... and there are different levels of cognitive ability. Isaac was a very, very bright young child and a bright young man. You could teach him things, but you had to, it was hard for, this is one of the things about, you can't say like the same, everything is the same for all autistic kids. Some common similarities of transitioning, going from one activity to another, is difficult for them. If you do not prepare them for it, you probably will not be able to do it, at least when they're younger. As they get older, what do you think? What do you think with Isaac?
It's harder as they get older because you expect, because of their age and their size, that, hey, they can do that now, but it's still a challenge to this day. He's 22 years old, and when things get different and aren't the way they're supposed to be, when he got home today from his day program, We had no electric. And that did not go over well when he gets home, he watches certain shows and he does certain things and he couldn't do them. And so it's been a mess at my house tonight.
I think, though, as some autistic children, as they get older, for one thing, many autistic children, I think this is a similarity between lots of autistic kids. Communication is extremely difficult for them. Now, when we talk about communication being extremely difficult, that doesn't mean that, they can't talk. You know, they talk very, many of them talk very well. Isaac talked very well. But to get their message across, to have them understand, a lot of times people like to go on and on and on. When you do that to an autistic child, as I say, you're going to blow their brain up. You have to give short, simple directives, speak to them, you know, and you almost have to say, like, Isaac, does Isaac want to do that? Not do you, because who's the you person? Yeah. We don't know you, but Isaac. So communication is a difficult aspect for a lot of autistic kids.
Well, I tell you what, let's take that, and when, like, we come back, we'll talk about Isaac and your experience with getting helping get him from point A to point B to where he's going to an adult day school now.
Yeah, it's a day program. They call it adult day service. So. Yeah.
So we'll be back to talk about some of those various steps right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Cy Iota's Eyes annual Brick Street Market is coming up on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. This will be a hometown craft and food fair featuring local merchants, vendors, crafters, and food trucks, and there will be a kids' corner featuring food and crafts from our younger vendors. If you're looking for some unique gifts and decor, this is where you want to be. Plus, our library will again be having their popular puppet show for the kids from 10 to noon. Also at our library, there will be an art show featuring works from our middle and high school students. And many of our merchants will be having spring specials during the Brick Street Market. You don't want to miss this fun event, the Cy Iota's Eyes Annual Brick Street Market, held right here in downtown Fort Recovery on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2. In conjunction with the Cy Iota's Eyes Community Garage Sales this week, the Friends of the Library will also be having their used book sale at the library all this week during their regular library hours. Here's your chance to shop a nice selection of used books, audio books, and DVDs for all ages and interests. Items are available for a free will donation. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. So while you're out checking out all the other treasures around town, be sure to head up to our library this week and check out the treasures you'll find there during their used book sale.
We're back. Insight. Talking with Kathy Ports and Nikki Hawk about the Autism Acceptance Awareness Month and in particular, each of their experiences in the autism arena, I guess you could put it. So, Kathy, you were talking about your history with you autism and how in the 80s it wasn't called autism.
It just wasn't brought up. I had a student in probably one of my first classes, first year I taught, and he had very, you know, he could speak, he could be understood, but he had a difficult time of telling his needs and, you know, getting his message across. He had lots of behavior and stuff. And at the time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look at this kid and stuff. He was autistic, was what he was. He was autistic.
So what would it have been called back then? I mean, was
he was just a child that didn't quite fit into that regular ed classroom. Yeah. Couldn't survive there then, and so
was there even a term for it?
We did not hear it at the time. Yeah.
No, I don't remember ever.
I mean, they might have called it autistic, but he was not that. That was not his diagnosis, and I don't know that he had a true diagnosis. So
if like I'm a parent and you know, Nikki, you were talking about having 20 years of experience being an autistic parent and then you know, suddenly realizing that you're a second son. So if like I'm a parent and not necessarily a new parent, but I've got a child that I just can't figure out. What are some of the signs or what are that you would possibly look for that would make you think I better have them tested?
And just to jump in too, you might say, some people might say, well, he's acting like Uncle Fred, you know, and just brush it off as that when there is an actual thing and not just some quirky guy that, you know, decided to do this or that when he's older. So, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. So I guess the first thing I want to say, Jack, is that you said to get them tested. And unfortunately, there's not any kind of genetic test. There's nothing that you can take your child to a doctor and them say, oh, yep, he's autistic. It's in his blood, right? There's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So when Isaac was diagnosed, and again, a long time ago, the doctor told us that she would have to observe him over multiple appointments, probably spending up to 6 hours with him and watching how he reacted to things and how he played and that kind of stuff. And within the first 45 minutes, she came out and said, yes, he's on the spectrum. I'm confident with that. One of the things that I remember the doctor saying to me was, does he play with other children? And he went to a babysitter, had a fantastic babysitter growing up, and he was there every day. And, you know, he followed the rules and did exactly what the other kids did. But when I would watch him and we would be with friends or whatnot, he didn't play with other kids. He played beside other kids.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have that interaction.
He did not have any interaction. And you don't see that. And then the language.
You don't look for it.
You don't. Yeah. You don't. And then the language thing, right? How many times. I blame some of this on the fact that I was a working mom the whole time my kids were growing up, that I knew what they needed, I knew when they needed it, and I made sure they had it because I didn't have time to mess around, right? When I got home from work, it was time to eat, then do baths, go through backpacks, do all of these things that had to be done. And so if it was 2 o'clock, it was snack time, and I got him a snack. He didn't have to ask, you know? So they didn't use that language as much because we were just meeting their needs, or thought we were meeting their needs. We had no idea what his needs really were, but we were trying to meet his needs, and so he didn't really need to talk, right? He was my oldest.
Well, you knew Isaac, and I knew his
him.
Needs and what his wants were.
Right, And so I think the first thing is, one, if you have any concern whatsoever, to make sure you talk to your doctor about it. The other thing is there are so many resources online that you can go and look at and see if there's a checklist or something. You know, it's not like you can just look at a child and say, oh, they're on the spectrum.
Can I interject?
Yes, please.
I'm going to put a big plug in for the Mercer County ESC. Mm-hmm. I would contact them, and they have a great staff that mm-hmm. meet all kinds of needs across the board. And if you feel you might have a child with some issues with you know, cognitive delays or just speech delays or just something, I'd contact DSC out of Salina.
So do you already have to have a child in school in order for them to help?
No.
I think Help Me Grow is the first program, and that's for kids under 3.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's when Isaac first was met with people. It was with Help Me Grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who forwarded us on to ESC. And we started with preschool or early intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So early intervention is prior to the time that they're preschool age. And then at that time, once they were 3, they could go to preschool. And the only one that was there was at the Cheryl Ann Building, what we know as the Cheryl Ann Building from back in the day. Now there are preschools. There's one in Fort Recovery. There's one in St. Henry. There's one in Parkway. So they're all over the county. So I really think it starts with, one, don't be afraid. If you think that there is something, trust your gut. Trust your intuition. And if someone in your family or a friend shows concern and talks to you about it, don't get mad. They're only doing it because they think that they can help your child and ultimately you, because this isn't just something that Isaac deals with every day. This is something our entire family deals with every day.
And and there is actual help.
Yes.
Not just, I found out, okay.
Well, it's not left
it's
up to
not
the
that
parents.
At all.
It's not just say, well, here you go, and
right.
You're on your own.
Yeah. Have a nice life.
It's a wonderful support
staff. There's resources.
Staff.
Yes. And Jack, one thing I wanted to bring up that I think is really important is there are parents who love their children and grandparents who are raising their grandchildren and love them unconditionally the same way we all do with our kids. But are afraid for that diagnosis. They don't want the stigma that goes along with that. I liken it to this. If my child were diabetic, if my child had cancer, if my child had some kind of heart disease, whatever they needed medication-wise, I would get that for them. And this is the same thing, right? I wish there was a magic pill that I could give Isaac, and all of a sudden he would just be, hey, Mom, what's up? Let's talk. But that's not the case with autism. But if there is anything out there that can help your child and help them be the best person they can be, the best Isaac he can be, I'm not doing my job and I'm not doing justice for him or anyone in our family if I'm not out there trying to get every resource available for him. I hope people listening don't think, oh, she's so self-righteous and sanctimonious, because I know we are not doing it all right. And I know if you've seen Isaac out and about, he is a pill. And he is a pill at home, and he is a challenge every minute of every day. And I thank God that he has the support system he does. It's not easy. And I hope that people out there aren't dealing with the same things we are at 22. But people are. And don't be afraid to get the help that you need. Anything that can help your family is really what you should do. And don't worry about the stigma.
So is it a case where early intervention can make a big difference?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
How? So explain that, Kathy.
Well, for one thing, you'll be working on the communication piece of it. If you wait till a child is 5, 6 years old, think about that. For 5 or 6 years, they've not been able to get their message across, you know, appropriately. And that's why they act out. If they can't get it across, then they act out. And, of course, then that leads to a stigma for that child. You'll be able to provide the supports for that child with the communication and, like, the transitioning. And even maybe helping at home, like, instead of just saying, well, this is what we're doing. Sometimes you have to, with autistic children, you almost have to prepare them. I can remember, like, with Isaac and another young man that I had in my class, if we went on a field trip, I would write up a story and a step-by-step. Yes. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get on the bus. We're going to ride. You know, you had to prepare them. So if you start that early on, and some parents are going to say, I don't have time to do that. It doesn't take a whole lot, but you just prepare. It's better than fighting a tantrum.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, when you think about how us bullheaded Germans tend to approach things, you know, we don't go to the doctor because we don't want to know. We don't get these things checked out because we don't want to know.
Oh, how I know that.
And And I think we tend to take the same approach with, you know,
well,
what,
if you
my life
pretend
is fine.
It's not there, maybe it's not so bad. My thing is, pretending it's not so bad doesn't make it go away or make it any better.
Yeah. No, not at all. And you can do everything. You can get all the intervention in the world, and sometimes it's still, it's a hard day.
Oh, yeah.
And we
yeah.
have those minutes. I mean, it's not every day, month, year. It's minute by minute sometimes, and that's how we survive.
So I hear part of the signs, and you talk about, like, the challenge of the transition, mm-hmm. or what occurs when their routine gets messed up. Yeah. So is OCD part of autism, or is it, you know?
I think the behaviors can be similar. I don't think they're necessarily the same thing, but there are behaviors that go along with it.
I mean, they're very similar, very similar, you know, like where a thing has to be done so many times. You know, so many times, or done in a certain way, and
why are you looking at me?
I was looking at the clock because I was going to tell a story, Neil. But I do think you might have a little bit of it there.
A little bit.
So it was years ago. We were watching Over the Hedge. Isaac loves movies, and he can tell you every movie he's ever seen. He's up to like 60 of them in order. And not only what theater, what year, and what date he saw, but also what previews were at that movie when he saw it. But anyway, we're watching Over the Hedge. And the beginning credits, or the beginning of the movie, he kept doing it over and over and over again. And I thought I was going to lose my mind because you're listening to the same thing over and over. And it finally hit me. I looked at him and said, Isaac, how many times do we have to listen to this? 8? How many times have we listened? 7? It went one more time and that was it. And so you have to get into, I try to get into his mindset and realize, like, when he was, before he was diagnosed, he loves Oreos, but he has to have them in groups of 4. If you would give him 3 Oreos or 5 Oreos, he would have had the same fit at 3 as he would at 5, because it had to be 4. Now that he's 400 pounds and 6'2", it can be a multiple of 4. So it can be 8 or 12 or 16.
Multiple.
I do try to stop that, but he's bigger than me and I don't want to fight. So, but it's things like that had to be in specific. And once I realized that, I'm like, okay, well, then I'm not going to fight him on the little things. If I'm going to let him have cookies, because his tantrum wasn't like any other typical kid would have a tantrum because they wanted cookies. Isaac would have a meltdown because he didn't have the right number of cookies, right? Yeah. There's a difference. Once you see the difference between a meltdown and a tantrum is what all my kids do. A meltdown is something that it almost looks like it's giving him physical pain and anxiety because it's not fitting what he has in his head that it has to be.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another little break and come back and talk more about autism and Autism Acceptance Awareness Month.
Clinchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clinchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery High School baseball team is having a barbecue chicken dinner on Saturday, April 20th, and you can pick up the dinners from 11 to 1 at the new baseball facility. There will also be a baseball game with the Lincoln View Lancers that day, starting at 11 a.m. So bring the family out to the game that day and enjoy the barbecue chicken and the baseball game. The tickets for the chicken dinners are just $10 each, and you get a half a chicken from Wendell's Barbecue, plus applesauce, chips, and a roll. If you're not going to the game, you can just drive through and pick them up. You can contact any of the high school baseball players for tickets, and you can also get them by contacting Wendell's Barbecue at 375-4074. Don't miss out on the baseball team's barbecue chicken dinners this year, available on Saturday, April 20th from 11 to 1 during our home baseball game with Lincoln View.
5 more seconds.
Oh, I think we're going to have a little bit of an argument.
That's his ADHD kicking in. Has to be exactly right.
Right?
talking to Kathy and Nikki about autism. And so, I don't know whether you guys can answer this, but what causes it?
Well, if we knew that, no. Okay.
I would have been out of business.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, Jack, there's a lot of thoughts out there. And I personally believe, and a lot of research supports this, that there's probably a genetic factor and there's probably an environmental factor. Just because you're born with that genetic factor, whether it be an autism gene or a portion of a gene or something, just because you're born with it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll develop autism. It's like the alcohol gene, right? Just because you have it doesn't mean you're going to be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But I also believe that there's an environmental factor, and that environmental factor may be different for multiple people, right? So Joe grew up on a farm. Maybe he was exposed to something there. I grew up in a single parent household and spent a lot of time in very smoke-filled rooms. Right? I could have been secondhand smoke might have caused it to something in my body before Isaac was ever conceived, right? So there is a possibility that there is a genetic precursor and some environmental factor. I don't think that it's just one easy thing to identify, because if you talk to families, you know, this goes across the world. It doesn't matter if you're from Africa, Indonesia, America, Mexico, wherever, there's autistic people everywhere. It also doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, healthy, not healthy. It doesn't matter, right? It has no boundaries as far as that goes. And if you look at the environment here versus Indonesia, it's very different, right? So I don't think that there's one specific thing, but I do think that there's environmental and that there is genetic, and together that is why it develops. Now, the genetic factor is made even more prevalent when you look at families and how it runs in families. I think that your risk is increased by like 40% or something. I'm not sure the exact number, but if you have one autistic child, the fact that you'll have another one, it's very high.
It goes up.
Yeah, the likelihood is very high. So there's no known cause. There's no known cure. But there are people who have done a lot of therapies and a lot of interventions that have been able to see some recovery of their family members. So I shout out to all of those people who are seeing some recovery, but it's not one thing. It's not one thing fits everybody, right? It's the same thing with the cause. There's not a cure at this point. Maybe someday. I have this vision, you know, medical marijuana is legal now. I keep thinking if I hand Isaac a joint, maybe he'll be like, hey, mom, what's up? Let's go to the ball game, you know? But obviously, I'm not going to do that because he would say it smelled funny and he wouldn't do it anyway. But, you know, I think sometimes maybe there's a magic pill or a bean and all of this will happen. But it probably won't be in my lifetime. Yeah. But, you know, I worry about when my daughter has children. You know, sure. The likelihood is there. Joe has a cousin who has an autistic son. I mean, it definitely, you look through our families and there's more and more and more. And I don't know. I don't know why or how, but I must have pissed somebody off in a former life, because
Kathy, anything to add to that?
Well, what I'm going to say is what I always tell people. God never gives you more than you can handle, and he gives the special people special children.
I think God got the wrong house, Ports.
No,
but I appreciate that.
I do not. So, yeah.
I tell you. Yeah. I think what I will say with that is, you know, I think all parents really can be amazing, and whether you're, whatever your trial or tribulation is, but this is one thing, and I think probably a lot of disabilities are like that. It affects our entire family, and the fact that, you know, my daughter, to bring friends home through her whole life, you know, it was always hard. We had to make sure that Isaac was out of the house before she would have a sleepover or a girlfriend stop by or friends come home from college even now, you know, to meet them. He is a challenge, and you have to really care about our family if you want to spend time with Isaac, because you're not going to just choose to do that for the most part. I mean, it's hard. Well, and I love him. I love him.
It is always interesting, though.
Oh, it is. I'll tell you some stories when we have time, Jack. You'll love that.
So when, like, we talk about the, you know, you said that there's no cure, but that there's a lot of therapies that are effective or mm-hmm. are being more effective. So, like, what would those include?
The one that we worked on when Isaac was a lot younger, and I think you have to start this really young, it's called Applied Behavior,
ABA.
The ABA.
Yeah.
It's kind of how you would train a puppy. Like, it was instant reward. Like, if they picked the right toy or asked for a toy, you would give them a fruit snack or something. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when you're training a puppy. It's that instant reward, instant gratification. But, you know, one of the things that I've always thought, the Play Project, it's called Play and Language for Autistic Youth. And essentially, it's getting on the floor and playing with your kid. This shouldn't be rocket science, right? This shouldn't be a special thing that we do with...
Well, it shouldn't
be. But as parents, how have we changed over the years that... I'm famous for the electronics raising my kids. And so when my kids want to do, and I need to do laundry, or I need to, hey, go watch this or play on your tablet or do whatever. And so we lose a lot of that. And some kids don't have the ability to translate what's happening here and do things with other people, right? So I think the autism hurts in the fact that if they're watching something on TV, to take that and say, okay, now I can go play with someone else and do the same thing and have a real life experience. You don't get that, maybe.
Well, there's not that interaction.
Right.
When you're watching TV, you're here, it's there, there's no interaction. Whereas when you're with other children, other people, there's that expectation of the interaction. And that is difficult for autistic children.
Yeah,
extremely
for sure.
So, yes.
So, is it, okay, so if you have an autistic child, okay, so the interaction piece is difficult for them.
Yes.
Okay. The transition piece and the change of routine piece is difficult. So is it part of the plan to avoid those things, or is part of the plan to interject them at a pace to where they can learn how to adjust?
Well, here
the answer is yes, Jack, depending on the kid.
That's exactly right.
It's not even on the kid, it's on the situation.
Yeah.
Right, you try to teach them coping skills.
It's the child, but you're right. It is the child, it is the moment, it is the activity you're trying to get across. But I think in time, if you're able to set up like the transition, the schedule, we lived by it. In my room, we had schedules, and we had a schedule on your desk, and here's what you did first, and here's what you did next, and da-da-da-da-da. If you had a fire drill, you better put that on the schedule, because these boys weren't going to just say, oh, there's the fire alarm, we need to go outside.
Yeah.
But I think in time, they don't need a schedule so much because it's built in. And when you have to, and as they get older, a lot of times, I even like with Isaac, as he got older, you were able to explain to him, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. We're going to do it. Whereas when he was little, you had to really prep him for that stuff. So,
yeah.
So we talked about highly functioning versus low functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you get a young person from one stage to the next?
I think you can always hope for and work towards life improvement, whether that is, you know, for one person, it may be very different than what someone else, you know, improvement for us right now would be if Isaac would show that he is fully potty trained, right? He's 22 years old, he's 400 pounds, and we're cleaning him up multiple times a day. That is a problem. Do I think he'll ever be able to, I don't think you'll ever be able to look at him and say, oh, he's autistic? I wouldn't guess that. He's not someone that, he's not ever going to get to that point. But we hope that we can get to some points of,
it's
things like, the things that are preventing him from being fully potty trained, for example, is the splash of the water. The fact that Joe flushed a fish down one of the toilets in our house 12 years ago, and he still says, I can't use that bathroom because Dad flushed a fish down it. Those kind of things that are ridiculous to anyone else. Yeah. And it's so hard. And I'm his mom, but it's so hard because he's so intelligent for me to say, Isaac, you know better than that. But it's not, that's not, he knows.
Yeah.
But being able to put that in practice is a totally different ballgame. And as they grow up and as they get older, That is the most difficult part for me, because I always told myself he's so smart that once he's old enough, he'll make his own decisions and he'll make good decisions. There's a very big difference between knowing right and wrong or knowing what you should or shouldn't do and being able to change your behavior and go to a place that you want. You know, I've just been working towards Disneyland for probably 15 years. And he's not any closer now than he was 15 years ago, because there are certain things that he has to do to go to Disney World or Disneyland. And, you know, the bigger he gets, the harder it's going to be. But we hope that someday we'll take him to see the mouse.
Well, and as you talk about, like children who are not able as well to cope or to cognitively as high, it's like your population. You have some kids who are going to be valedictorians and some kids who are not. They all have a place in the world.
Yeah.
And they're all very valuable and stuff. So, yes, it's not our place to judge. Everybody has a place in this world. And we have to honor that.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, I tell you what, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the special event that's coming up in Salina, I think, at the DD Gym. And I want to you figure out exactly where the Mercer County DD Gym is. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop into Wayne IGA and check out their new items in their grab-and-go cooler. They have a nice variety of fresh store-made salads and desserts, and now they also have some great ready-to-heat-and-eat meals like ravioli, meatloaf, chicken alfredo, beef brisket, and lots more. They also have containers of their store-made cooked beef, pork, and cream chicken. Check it out the next time you're up there and stock up on your favorites. There's a different variety of grab-and-go meals every day. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA, your best friend on a busy night. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow evening, the boys will have another MAC game as they travel over to Marion Local. Saturday morning, they'll host the Lincoln View Lancers at 11, and the Tom Galdine dedication will be held at 10:45. And it's also the baseball team's annual barbecue chicken dinner, with the dinners being served starting at 11, pre-sale only, so get your tickets from any baseball player. Get out and support our Indians this week. But if you just can't make it to all the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Where? We're back. Insight. Talking about Autism Acceptance Awareness Month with Kathy Ports and Nikki Hawk. And, you know, part of what I think the Mercer County developmentally disabled, is that the name of the group? Is that what
it's just Mercer DD now?
Mercer DD, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is holding an event. I think it's next Monday or the Monday after.
August 29th.
Okay.
They're going to have it at August 29th. And
April.
April.
Oh, April. Excuse me.
Come on, Ports. We want to get through the summer a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to skip summer.
I know.
No, April 29th. April 29th, and it's from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Mercer DD Gymnasium.
And which is where?
That would be out on
Mud Pike.
Is it Mud Pike? Down in Mud Pike.
Yeah.
And on the
okay.
The county home sheriff's office
Sherrilland building.
Yeah.
It would, or property.
Yeah. Where Sherrilland used to be.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
But Sherrilland used to be.
Right.
So yeah. So, and it's going to be from 3 to 6 p.m. So, yeah.
On the corner of Fleetfoot and Mud Pike is where that meeting sits.
Yes.
Yeah. Go in the parking lot and follow the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, there's a list of different vendors that are available to be there, I think, to kind of make themselves known to parents. Yeah. And to adults, most likely, that are going through this. So, Nikki, you had talked about the play project, and you talked about
ABA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, can you share some of the resources that you've used or that you're aware of, and Kathy can kind of interject from an ESC standpoint.
Sure. So. We started with speech therapy, and I think we looked at physical therapy, and we looked at
occupational.
There was occupational, and he really didn't qualify for those. So we started with speech therapy out there before he was three, and then he went on to preschool, and I think he was there 2 years in the preschool program. And then he started kindergarten here. But some of the other things that Isaac's been involved with over the years through DD has included Challenger Baseball, which I know is separate, but it's still something that's promoted through there. When he was younger, that was something that was really important to him. He also has gone through a program where he was able to get an iPad to help with communication. And that really is he will never see him not holding his iPad. He uses it for entertainment, but he also sends me messages on it all the time. Or, as he gets older, he can talk on his cell phone. But when he was younger, he can send me things that he wants and things that he wants to see or do or whatever. So that's really important for him to be able to show pictures and do that kind of thing. And we've been able to get that. I think we actually got the iPad through the Fox Family Ride for Autism. Mm-hmm. There's a family up in Rockford that does a motorcycle ride every year, and they offered those scholarships for the iPad, but you also had to go through a training on how to utilize it with disabilities. So that's available. I also, now that he's 22, he still has an SSA, which is like his caseworker, through DD. And Isaac's not an easy person to work with, and he has been through several different programs since he graduated high school. And the DD employee, his SSA, is who helps us try to find the best fit for him as far as the day service program goes. It used to be that everything was done through the county, but I don't know when it happened, but in the recent past, things have been privatized. And so there's not just one program that's out there. There's probably 10 that are available in Mercer County that you don't even know about. Like, we've visited multiple ones. We visited one in St. Mary's. We visited three in Mercer County. He right now goes to what's called MRSI. It's Mercer Residential Services. He just goes to the adult program, the day program. And it's a lot of outings and going in there with other adults with disabilities, not just autism, but all kinds of disabilities. And it's an opportunity for him to socialize, but it's also an opportunity for us to have kind of some respite time also from him. I work from home now, and it is a challenge on days that he's not at his day program to try to get my work done and also deal with him as well. So it's nice for the whole family that he has that. But he also,
those places are very good. I, a lot of people know I deliver stuff for Cobb Pharmacy, and we deliver medication, supplies, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff to those places, and they are all really well run, well taken care of, clean as can be. The people, employees, and the they're not probably some of them are actual residents. Some of them are right. it's just daytime stuff. There's a lot of things that go on there that they. It's just a really good thing.
It is, and I think. You know, it's great that there's a lot of choices out there for programs, but the drawback of it now being privatized is that they don't have to accept you as a client. And we've been dismissed from two programs, and we've been rejected from three.
And it's hard to know about these programs
right.
as well, isn't
right.
it?
Right, and I think that's where the resource fair could really come in handy mm-hmm. for parents and families out there. You know, every time my phone rings and I notice that it's his day program calling, I'm just waiting for them to say, this is it. He can't come back. And it's because his behaviors sometimes are not acceptable. I chuckle because I'm mortified, but a couple weeks ago, he now has to ride in the back seat of the van when they pick him up, the way back seat, because several weeks ago he was riding in the front seat, and the person in front of the van was driving slow, and he felt like they needed to go faster, so he pulled the wheel to try to go around him. So he's now not allowed to ride in the front seat, and it's in his plan that he's not allowed to ride in the front seat. But luckily, they're still providing transportation right now. But they could say, hey, he can still come, but he can't have transportation. Or they could say, hey, we can't take him anymore because he has made some bad decisions, and he has shown some behaviors that aren't acceptable.
He was trying to fix things.
He was. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he got in trouble on one day because he pushed another client. Well, that client had pushed one of the helpers, and he didn't want him to push the helper, so he pushed them. And so he thinks he's helping, but then there are times that he's just a pain in the butt, and he's a hawk,
again,
and he acts like a hawk. So
there again, it's just not. It's his way of not being able to express himself appropriately.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So does, when, like, he does this and he goes to the back of the van, does he understand why he's going to the back of the van?
He does, but whether or not that is enough to deter him from doing something again is another issue, because it's a lot of impulsive behaviors, because you also got to look at it. Isaac's a 22-year-old man. He's full of testosterone, but he has the mind sometimes of a 3 to 5-year-old. And so when you have the body of a grown man sumo wrestler and the testosterone of a teenager and the mental decision-making of a 3-year-old, it's a tough combination. And so what he does understand, what he doesn't understand are hard to figure out.
Yeah. So, and... So as we talk about the different resources, Kathy, can you go into more about some of them, like the ESC?
Mm-hmm.
Would an adult be able to access those resources?
That what they probably could do is put you onto the right path of where you need to go. You know, and stuff. They're connected with. Shelly Vaughn has done a fantastic job of expanding the ESC's services.
Yeah.
And so if they are not able to provide the services, they could probably put you on the path of who can and stuff. So.
And the Mercer DD, that's lifetime. So there are services available for adults as well as children. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You had spoken about the Challenger baseball, which is just that is awesome. That is one of the greatest things. If you don't get a chance to see that, you need to.
They have a senior league too.
Yes,
and that is great.
Yes,
and I remember I was on the Coldwater MD tournament committee, and somebody said, "Well, why don't we have Challenger baseball?" And everybody looked around and said, why didn't we think of that 20 years ago? Because that is, you know, it's muscular dystrophy, and there's several muscular dystrophy, all kinds of things. That's exactly what that whole tournament was about for decades, is helping people. Now that's called, it's not the muscular dystrophy tournament, it's multiple donations, and they do quite a bit of the same things that we do with our Christmas show, is distribute the money to local families. But it's just, you know, it's just an incredible thing, and it is so much fun to watch those kids.
Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you, that is the biggest draw of MD tournament, is Thursday night, 8 o'clock, under the lights with all these kids doing what they love to do, and it is so incredible. It's just if you have somebody that would qualify to be in that, make sure they get in it. If you don't, make sure you get there and support and cheer, and it is so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But I'm so sorry about the promo for the MD tournament, but that is really special.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you a story along with Challenger Baseball real quick. I appreciate the people who put that on and do everything for it. Isaac decided a couple years ago he wasn't going to play anymore for a couple reasons. One, it's hot. The sun comes out. And second, when they have the game at Coldwater, they don't have McDonald's orange drink anymore. And there's no point in going if there's not orange drink from McDonald's. So Joe and Olivia both are coaches, but Isaac's not having any part of it because there's not orange drink, and the pizza was not the right pizza when we had pizza. So that didn't work either. You got to go to the stuff. And Ports put the meal on here for us several years when we had the game up here at the Jubilee weekend. And she made sure that he had Oreos, but nope, not double stuff. She only got single stuff, and the whole world ended. Thanks, Ports.
Sorry.
All right.
So yeah, the Challenger Baseball, just so everybody knows, they go around to all the community picnics, mm-hmm. and try to set up a game during that community's community picnic. Mm-hmm. So wherever you are, there's probably going to be one near you, and go and support those kids. They have a lot of fun. You'll probably have more fun than the kids will.
Yes.
But just go
and help. And then what I love about it is they're all winners. We have no losers.
That's
there.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Everybody bats every inning.
It's amazing. One of our friends here in Ports knows who I'm talking about, gets a home run every time.
Yeah.
Almost a grand slam.
And his team always wins.
Yep. And he always is first to pizza.
Yeah.
That's just how we go.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back and kind of wrap things up. But I want you to think about, so what are your tips to parents? Because I think part of the reason that we're doing this is to shed a little light and to help people out. So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Appliance and Electronics have been selling and servicing GE appliances for over 84 years. Stop by 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland to browse the large selection of appliances and Radio Shack electronics. Strolls open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852 402-4049.
The Fort Recovery Sciota's Eyes Community Garage Sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. There are going to be bargains galore everywhere in and around town, so get to as many of the sales as you can and grab some great treasures. Maps to the dozens of participating sales are available in many of the businesses around town and also on their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Sciota's Eye. Again, Fort Recovery's Community Garage Sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 18th, 19th, and 20th, all around Fort Recovery and the surrounding area.
We're back. Insight. That was a quick hour, ladies.
That was.
Yes. So, as like you look at your years of experience in dealing with autistic children, either your own or those you teach, what are the most valuable tips that you could give to parents to kind of help them along the way?
I would say look for good supports. Look for good supports, you know, within your community. Treat your child with love, but don't spoil them because they're cute and little at three. When they're 22...
And as
we used to say in Mrs. Ports' room, you can be cute for 3 days and then we're done with cute.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But yeah. Just have the same expectations that you do for your other children. You may have to adapt them to your child, but they're going to grow up and you want the best for them. So yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Do you think the stigma has changed very much over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years? It seems to me it has, because we've had several, what I would say, high visibility, maybe prominent families in our area that have had children with disabilities, and they are dealing with it in a very good kind of public way, and not trying to hide these kids and avoid. Am I seeing that wrong, or does that seem like something?
They're in public school now, and so they're just one of the class. You may not be able to walk. You may go to your class in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. You may have a walker. You may have a device to communicate with. But you're just one of the kids. All kids are different in some way. And so I would say, since we started, because I was the first, what they used to call MH, multiple handicap, instead of multiple disabilities, in the county, we're in the public schools now. And it's not that... We're just part of the class there. And that's what's great about it.
And the kids accept all of that, don't they? I mean, especially if you start when they're kindergarten, first grade, second grade.
They
know this kid's taller than this one. This one can play baseball. This one can't do this.
You know, we have,
and they just don't. It just doesn't matter.
There's a young MD class at grades K through 5 out here at the Ford Elementary. And the teachers are fantastic. They accept them in their classes and try to adapt for them along with the special teacher. The students, they're just part of the, they'll include them in games and you know, invite them to parties, and it's just great and stuff. So
good. I was hoping that that's what I was perceiving, but I wanted to be sure that that's what was more or less the reality. There's always exceptions, but still good.
I think the two things, Jack, that I would say, the first one is just be kind. I've had people, when we've been out in public and Isaac was younger and you probably couldn't tell necessarily that he had some type of issue. Now, with the way he carries himself and he's so big, people know by looking at him. But when he was younger, it wouldn't be unusual that we would be out in public and he would be misbehaving. And people, strangers would say to me, that kid needs to be on a leash. You need to take him and beat him. You need to whatever. So just be kind. You have no idea what people are going through. And you have no idea what it took for us to get to that spot we were at that minute in time. Because it is a battle 24/7. The other thing is, do not be afraid of, I feel like I'm doing all these religious songs, like all of a sudden, be kind, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that your child does have a disability or does have a diagnosis, it's okay. The world is still open to them to do everything that you think that they can accomplish, and there are no limits to what's available.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, and I tell you what, just from you listening to you, Nikki, and from the things that Kathy said, you know, I think one thing that is always helpful when you're dealing with any type of an outlier, you know, is to learn as much as you can about whatever it is you're going to deal with, because it will prepare you for, you know, what's ahead. It will, you know, kind of give you an open mind as far as what's possible too, you know.
Yeah, so for sure.
So
I think that another thing that I've always made it my mission to make sure that I explain autism to people and I explain disabilities to people, not because I'm proud of what we're doing and how we're handling things at home, because it's not pretty a lot of the time and I'm not the example that people should follow, but if one person had never heard of it before and today they say, oh, that makes sense, it's something that people need to work on it and do better
accepting
with,
of it.
To be acceptant, that's what's important to me. And so I don't talk about Isaac's disability and my other son's issues to get sympathy or to get people. It's about awareness. It's about acceptance. It's about people understanding that we all have burdens to bear and we all have lives that you don't really know a lot about. And my job is to hopefully open people's eyes to know that there are things out there that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Fantastic advice, Nikki. And you know, and you mentioned on two or three different occasions, you know, that it's not always pretty, but you've also said that there's almost always, you know, something that happens that you can find humor in.
Yeah,
so I'm going to give you an opportunity to share us with a little bit of humor.
Well, before you give your stories, what I used to say when I was teaching, if you can't have a good time, it isn't worth going to school.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep, and that's
perfect.
How I lasted 27 years.
And it worked pretty well for you, didn't it?
Well, I keep going back.
You keep going back.
In fact, I was just over at Mrs. Roth's room yesterday morning and stuff.
Uh-oh. So.
She's the best.
She is.
She's the best.
She's got it.
She came from pretty good stock, didn't she?
Well, Jody is fantastic, for sure.
Yeah.
Jody is fantastic. Now, her godfather, I don't know. Just, it's a bit much. But let me just, I want to share two different stories so that you get an idea of how different my boys are, who are both same parents, same household or same environment that they're raised in. Isaac has a lot of things. You know, when he was younger, I would just want him to talk and I would think, oh, you know, please tell mommy you love her. And now pretty much every day he tells me to shut the up. And I won't use the word, Neil, because you don't have your finger on the button, but he tells me that pretty much daily. He also, within the last few months, I had gotten a message from someone who lives down the road from us, and she says, Nikki, I just want you to know we were driving by your house earlier and Isaac threw something at our car. And I could have you guys guess all day long what Isaac threw at the car and you're not going to get it. It was my mom's dog, because he doesn't like Rusty and he wanted Rusty to die. So the way he was going to accomplish that was throw it at a moving vehicle. Now, Rusty has since passed, but last summer, that was his goal. He threw him in the woods. That didn't kill him. He threw him on the road. That didn't kill him. But the neighbors had to let me know that he's throwing living animals at moving vehicles. So if the Humane Society is coming over tonight, have at it. Because let me tell you, we just try to get through. And then the difference with Isaac, you know, Isaac calls 911 often, usually because a thief has stolen his iPad. And that's usually Joe, Olivia, or I have taken it away from him because of bad behavior. So 911, there's a little note next to our name there. Don't go unless you call mom's cell phone first, because it's usually something like that. But my other son started working at a farm, and he's known the man for his whole life since he was born. And he's talking to him about starting work there, and they're talking about pay and all of this. And they say, do you have any more questions? And he goes, yeah. Do you drug test? No, I think we're okay. You know, I've known you your whole life. I don't think we don't need to do that. And then his next question was, what are your benefits? He says, I'm going to pay you and let you work here. But in his mind, right, he had learned in school that these are the questions you ask an employer. And even though he's known this man his whole life, he had to ask those questions. And so it just shows you a little bit of the difference when you have met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person, and we live under the same roof, and they could not be more different. So it's pretty entertaining.
Well, guys, I tell you what, it's been a quick hour and 10 minutes. And, you know, God bless you both for your patience and your perseverance and your unconditional love. You know, everybody's got crosses that they bear, you know, and for you two to, you know, come on here and to, you know, share what you know about this is fantastic. Again, I want to remind everybody that the Autism Resource Fair is Monday, April 29th, not August 29th, Kathy.
No.
From 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock at the Mercer County Developmentally Disabled Gym, which is on Mud Pike Road in Salina. It's free. It's open to the public, and there's going to be a whole lot of vendors there that can help guide you along the way if you believe your child or yourself has autism somewhere in the spectrum. So anything to add, ladies?
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
This is fun.
You were fabulous.
And I didn't cuss. I'm so excited.
No,
Well, when we turn the microphones off, you can just let out a whole roll of them.
I've got a list.
So stay tuned for Bubba and Fian's Sports Talk coming up right after that. And Insight, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you